Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'm obsessed during the breaks with the social media stuff with Jordan Hudson.
Are you really?
Yeah, I can't get enough of it. They released an email. I don't want to get into it here.
Why not?
No, we can talk about it off the air, you and I. But because I don't want to... Like, it's his, it's a weird thing, right? It's his relationship.
Yeah.
I don't want to pry into his relationship.
Well, he didn't have to go in 60 Minutes. He's the one who made it public. He could have said, no, I'm good.
I guess the... Well, because you now... I mean? But now there's speculation about how they met because she's like, well, we're not going to be talking about this anymore.
Yeah,
so now,
I saw all that.
So now everybody's, you know, assuming where she came from and how they met. I don't want to get into all that. Nor does it really matter. I guess my one thing with this is, if you're Bill Belichick... Now, I love Bill Belichick. I have been a Bill Belichick supporter, apologist, back, whatever you want to say. I take him over Brady. I believe in his coaching, all that stuff.
Yep.
When he started dating this 24-year-old, I'd be lying to you if I said I didn't lose a little respect for him.
Just, really?
Yeah, just like man to man, 74-year-old, however old he is, versus dating a 24-year-old. Like, yeah, I get the appeal. Yeah, okay, cool, bro. Like,
yeah.
Come on. What are we doing?
He's 20. How many pills do you need?
He's 20. Honestly. He's 24 years old. Now, that being said, just because it's not for me, it doesn't mean he can't do it. I respect to each their own, so go live your life. But does Bill Belichick really want his, I don't even know if I would say legacy tarnished by this, but now it's not about Bill and his coaching or what went wrong in New England or all the success with New England or about Bill versus Brady or about what's going to happen with North Carolina.
Yep.
It's Bill and his girlfriend.
Yeah, I know. Like, I know. Well, I mean, listen, I don't feel sorry for him because he's allowed it to happen. Right. You know, listen, maybe he really loves her. And I don't know, maybe she really loves him. As unlikely a pairing as it might be to many of us here for a multitude of reasons, maybe they love each other.
Which is fine.
Absolutely. And if that's the case, she's 24. She's thankfully of legal age. I mean, he's not doing anything wrong.
Right.
It's a bit of an odd look, a 50-year age difference, whatever. But
I mean, come on, that's
if you could keep
egregious.
Up, God bless you. I mean, you know.
Okay, but then the idea also that I'm supposed to believe now this 24-year-old, Bill Belichick is one of the greats, if not the greatest head coach of all time. And a part of that great coach is how he is a disciplinarian, not taking any nonsense, keeping guys in order, a locker room of 53 men, all this stuff.
Now he's getting dragged around by her.
He's being run by a 24-year-old girl, and I'm not knocking her. But
no, I know.
Think about yourself when you're 24. Like, it's a different world from 24 to 34 to 44. Imagine to 74.
I'm just trying to be devil's advocate here because I'm kind of with you. But maybe he welcomes this change. You know, we can't quantify because we've never had this level of, we have, you know, parental and husband responsibilities, but we've never had responsibilities as the main person for an organization like he did with a professional team for all those years. Maybe he's like, you know what, man, I ran myself into the ground and I'm still going to work hard to be a great coach in college, but I am comfortable and confident enough and in love with her enough to acquiesce and give her some response. She's better at some clerical things, and she could run my emails. I wouldn't do that, but maybe it's real. I really don't know.
I mean, don't you think it's odd in a sit-down interview, and I watched the whole thing last night, that It's got where the interviewer, it wasn't a gotcha or trying to get you. The guy was being genuinely nice, promoting the book, talking with Bill in a positive way for the most part.
Yep.
The only thing that Bill got rubbed wrong a little bit was the Robert Kraft stuff where he's like, you didn't even acknowledge Kraft in your book. Bill's like, that's correct. And he's like,
I didn't see, what was the follow-up to that? I just saw the excerpt.
Yeah, it was just basically was it a like, good follow-up? Why not? Since the firing, whatever, he goes, well, we mutually parted ways. Okay, fine. But even the reporter.
Weren't they doing shots at Tom Brady's roast? I thought they made amends.
I don't know all the inner workings of that, but it is odd that Bill wouldn't even acknowledge Kraft. Anyway, my point is the reporter wasn't trying to screw Belichick. It was coming from a positive place. And it's like, oh, we have Jordana, or whatever her name is, Jordan over here. You have a relationship with her. How'd you guys meet? I mean, that's a fair question.
It's a starting point, really, if you think about it.
It's a more than fair. It's not like, oh, how about the age disparity? It's how'd you guys meet? Which, by the way, was previously reported by TMZ that they met on a flight. She had pictures of the book that he signed to and all that stuff. And now she's like, oh, we're not getting into that. In like a nasty way. So that was an odd.
I hear that tone. I'm running for the hills, man.
Well,
I'm not sticking around too much. I don't care what she looks like.
That's my point. Now, I'm sure Bill's having a lot of fun, and God bless him.
Yeah.
Again, not my style necessarily to be doing that at that particular. But hey, you got to do what you got to do. I just find the whole thing weird, and it is tarnishing his. Forget legacy, his reputation, whatever that may be.
Because the authority figure seems diminished, seems compromised because he's ceded some power.
Because
but again,
he's letting a 24-year-old run wild on social media.
Yeah. Now, is that happening because he's okay with it?
Maybe.
Or is it because he's so blinded by being in love with somebody who is so attractive to him at 50 years younger? I mean, come on. The physical differences are ridiculous.
Maybe
he doesn't care. But I know that she's like it started at North Carolina a couple of months ago where he pretty much demanded, although I guess it was a nice request,
that
she be CC'd on all the emails and they want to run stuff through her. Very, like, you know, I'm not trying to sound crude or crass here. I just hope that she doesn't run away with like some frat boy or something like happened on the North Carolina campus that makes Bill look like a joke. I hope that does not happen.
I think if anything, if we were taking betting odds on who leaves who first, I think Bill will just be like, I've had enough of this nonsense. I'll move on.
You think so?
Oh, 100%. That's my feel on it. Again, I don't know. What, you think Bill's going to fall head over heels in love with her and just, here's my Super Bowl rings. Let's get married.
Dude, he might be.
No
way. Listen, when you're 74, you're knocking on the door. The average life expectancy is 77, 78 years of age for the average male American. Now, medical advancements and we take care of ourselves better, knock on wood. All right. My dad's 81. He's at a knee replace. He's playing golf. Limping around playing golf. He still comes to watch the kids play. Like, I don't know, if you're 74 and you're divorced and you got grown kids and some girl's 50 years old who in his eyes is absolutely smoking, why would you not hang around if you're happy?
Yeah, I mean, fair enough.
But you going to ask me something?
I guess because, like, what do you think his sons think of this? Or his children?
You know what I would... Did he divorce or did his ex-wife die? Or did she die?
I think they divorced,
right?
I think so, too. But
okay.
The point is, like, he's now dating a girl that's younger, I think, than his children.
I know. I'm going to answer that directly. My kids are young, is yours, you know. I'm not even going to use myself because that's just too personal. I can't use myself. I'm going to say person X and husband X and wife Y.
Got divorced in 06, Zoo said.
There you go. All right. So if wife Y died, then, and I'm the child of husband X, then I really believe that I would just want to see my dad happy.
I know, but
I hear, and there's a difference. Like, I prefer a more compatible age. I get that. More, commonality, whatever. But, like, if my dad was 74 and his wife died and he was lonely and he no matter, as long as she's legal and she's not a manipulative, whatever, stealing his money and, like, he's losing his sensibility and she's just taking money from him, like, then I'd have to step in and it would be over. But I'd be genuinely happy for him. If it was a divorce and I felt like my dad did my mom wrong, that's a different emotion that I might admit. I know I'm getting. I'm just trying to answer very honestly. Like, I think I prefer my dad to be happy with somebody who's a lot younger than him to be lonely and by himself.
Yeah,
that's the way I would put it.
Yeah, I just feel like the whole thing is weird. And now the attention is. I just care about what Bill Belichick does at North Carolina. I don't necessarily care about this girlfriend stuff, but it's taken on a mind of its own here. Where so today she released a new email from Belichick where he was talking about promoting the book, and it's a pretty
I didn't care enough to read the summation there. He didn't like the book.
The way they were going about promoting the book. Like, it's for clickbait, this and that, where I guess he said something in the book where he screwed up.
Yeah. You should. It is for clickbait, because when you're on the beach playing Pilates, or she called it Billotties, where you had her on the under portion of your foot, and you were like pushing her to the air in the sand. You don't think that's going to get around on social media,
right? But come on, Bill. I don't even think he was aware of that, because they brought that up in the interview, and it seemed like Bill didn't know what they were talking about. I'm serious.
So wait, do you think that somebody else, because it didn't seem like there were a lot of people on the beach, you think somebody else was taking that, or she planted the phone?
No, I would think that she took it, because I'm pretty sure she posted it. I'm saying that I don't think they're sitting there in bed together and she's going, oh, look, should I post this one? I think he is either oblivious to it or doesn't care about it.
Well, that's when the son's got to step in.
Yeah.
That's to get back to what you asked me there. If I feel as if my dad is in the dark as to what's being put out there about him,
it seemed like that.
I'm going to get him up to speed.
Yeah, it's just a whole bizarre thing. Anyway.
Imagine if she brings a friend over for him.
What, for the son?
No, for Bill.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888. I just care about what goes on in North Carolina this year. 888-808-1019.
They're not going to be good.
Is the number to call. Pete is calling from Freehold about Juan Soto. What's up, Pete?
Hey, Sal.
I'm going to put you on hold there, yeah. Pete. Zeus, see if we can get him a better line. Steve is calling from Marlboro. Steve?
Hey, guys. You've got the best show on radio.
We got another bad line. Is there something wrong with the phone?
On here? All right, we're going to fix that. I got something real quick. Yeah. I saw something on social media.
Okay.
And this, amongst all the junk that I see, I find this one very interesting. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
All right. So, who do you think would win in a fight? 100 unarmed men, no weapons.
I saw this too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Versus a single gorilla. Now, what's your first instinct here? 100 men, grown men, or a
gorilla.
Okay. That was my first instinct too. But then when you get behind the numbers, there's no doubt the gorilla's going to win. How much do you think a gorilla can bench press? I don't know what you would get up back in the day. Most people, if they lift, 225, if you're a beast, more than that, whatever. But generally around, something like that. You know what a gorilla can bench?
No, what?
1,800 pounds.
He'd be taking out dudes left and right.
1,800 pounds, right? He can run 25 miles per hour. So, which means he can run and then just destroy with one swing of the arm. And his PSI, which is the bite force, is capable of crushing a human bone with one bite.
Yeah.
The gorilla's going to win 42-3. It's a rout.
Plus, he could run a lot faster.
Destroy him.
Yeah, I would think so, too. I read something where somebody's like, hey, the first 10 guys may do a little damage, but the rest are toast or something.
I would think the opposite. If anything, maybe you have a chance the gorilla gets tired.
Maybe that was the other way, right?
The
100 guys may win, but the first 10 for sure are dead.
If there's a list, a group of 100 men, and I'm unfortunately in that group to try to take out a gorilla, I'm praying I'm 98 or 99. I'm not going to be 1 through 10. I can promise you that.
I think people have too much time on their hands to come up with
But they reenacted with AI. It's actually really, really interesting. But your answer is gorilla.
Me too. I would take the gorilla. Yep. All right, Pete, let's try it again. Pete is in Freehold. Pete?
Oh, hi. Hi, Sal. PT, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, Pete.
We
much
got
better.
You, Petey.
Oh, great, great. Great show as always. Appreciate the Soto talk. It's not that he's unhappy being a Met. He's unhappy being a Yank. We gotta face the facts. It's more than Hal. It's more than Stevie. It's more than the box. He's got a little buyer's remorse, and you know what? He's going to have to get over it, and he will. But it's all about not being a Yankee. Let's face it. I agree with a lot of the other callers saying that he's not the guy with the Mets, and he certainly was more of that with the Yanks. But I think at the end of the day, he regrets the decision, and he'll have to get over it. He'll have his 5-year time, but he'll never have a year like he had last year.
Which is fine, never. And thank you for the call, Pete. He doesn't need to have a year like he had last year. He's just got to have career years or years that are comparable to what he's done in his career, which I think that he will. I'm not worried about it long term. I'm not even worried about it short term just yet. I'm just frustrated by it. But if he's not being himself or not feeling it, and that's the quote from The Athletic from Will Salmon as far as the Soto shuffle, he said they'll come, but right now it's got to be a thing of feel. He's got to be feeling it, so clearly he's not feeling it right now. That, to me, it's going to cause some speculation. You could say what our last caller said, or you can feel other reasons.
So he's making $51 million this year, 51.8, and then 51.8 in 2026, then it's 47.5, then it's 51.8, then it's 51.8, and then after, I got a question for you with all these numbers, after the 2029 World Series, as we know, he can opt out, That is when that's in the close there at the age of 31. And the numbers from that point to the rest of the contract may increase to $55 million if the Mets negate the opt-out, kind of like the Cole Yankee thing, so they could keep him by paying him more money. Do you think there's, or what do you think is the percentage? Give me 60-40, 70-30, 0-50-50, that he will opt out after the 2029 World Series.
I would say 10%. I don't think there's any chance he's opting out.
Not even to get more money?
No, I don't think he's getting more money. And by the way, if he does opt out, see ya.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would, it's not that I think this is a bad contract, because I don't. I would do it over again.
Mm-hmm.
But I would.
But it's going to turn bad.
But I would never do this again.
Yeah.
Because he was the most sure bet possible.
Yeah.
And I did not think at all that there would be a slow start, whatever. But the fact that there is some, he's not being himself fully confident, it shows you either the pressure of a big contract or just the risk that you take in general with that stuff. I would never do it. He was a special one-time thing, prime of his career, beast offensively, all that stuff. I would never give a long-term deal out ever again. Greg is in Mayapack. What's up, Greg?
BT, Sal, thanks for taking the call. Oh, by the way, Belichick has never cared about anything. You really, every time that lady walks into the room that he's in, he's as happy as anybody can possibly be. He can care less what anybody thinks, let me tell you.
For now.
And that she hides the knife that is behind her back.
Yeah, well.
Well, it's possible, but he's 74. He can care less. Listen, guys, if Soto goes 22-75, the Mets win 100-plus games, beat the Dodgers and the NLCS and win the World Series, it was a great year. Yes, I would be disappointed that he didn't go 35-120. We're hitting 300. Mm-hmm. But so far, it's working out.
Right, Greg.
We're winning games.
Yeah, but he's not doing his part.
Okay. He's not Jason Bay, guys. Relax. He'll be fine.
Sure. Yeah, understood. But you've enjoyed Juan Soto so far as a Met?
Yes, okay. Because Soto is a Met. But you know what I want to ask you guys? He shuffled in the first series against the Astros.
Yeah.
And then he stopped.
Yeah.
What the hell happened?
Well, that's what we're talking about, Greg, and thank you for the call. Will Salmon of The Athletic wrote an article on that asking where it is. Soto said, you'll see it again. It's just got to be something that he's got to be feeling it. It takes a lot to get him to that shuffle level. You got to be feeling it. You saw a semi-shuffle over the weekend on Sunday against the Nationals where, I keep forgetting the guy's name, a pitcher on Washington came up and in on him. Freeman or something, whatever it was, and he gave you that quick. It was like, ooh, a reminder of the beast still in there. But if he's not 100% feeling it, he's not feeling it. But that's the question. Why is he not feeling it? Do you think, BT, that Juan Soto prefers to be the man or wants somebody else to be the man and he can take a lesser role?
I think that he wants his play to elevate him to the man status, but I don't think he wants to be the man in the organization that takes the most heat or has to answer the bell to the media. Now, I'm really threading it there. But what I mean is, like, Lindor is the leader. Lindor is the unofficial captain. Aaron Judge is the captain. He could go there and certainly not hide, because I'm not saying he's looking to hide, but I think he just wants to put up his numbers. I think he just wants to be a baseball player. Do his job and go home.
So then maybe he doesn't want to be the man, because people are saying, well, he's got to be the man with the Mets, or, you know, he didn't have to be that with the Yankees, which led that. And then there's some people saying, well, he wants to be the man here, but he's starting slow. Like, you could convince me either way.
What do you think more is true?
I don't believe Juan Soto cares to be the leader of the team.
I agree with that.
He doesn't need to be the leader. He doesn't want to be that. That's been a thing. Like, he's not a captain, whereas Lindor maybe wants to be the captain, or he is captain of Team Puerto Rico, maybe he eventually becomes a captain of the Mets. That's different to him. But I do think that he wants to be the best player on the team.
Yes, I agree with that.
And wants
the
most attention on the team.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm trying to thread it there. Like, there's the, you know.
But did he leave the Yankees because he wanted to be the man and be under the shadow from Judge?
I really wish I knew the answer to that, man. It's so fascinating. You know,
it didn't
hurt. Maybe.
I'm sorry, it didn't hurt him last year to be in that shadow.
No, it didn't. But Judge's shadow was so big, it kind of provided shield. But then again, he came out raking from minute one. So
right.
There was, you know, and Judge was scuffling.
And also, he was the man with the Yankees, because I know Judge is still Judge, but it's almost like Judge was taken for granted a little bit because he was there. Soto was the new toy, and everybody was excited and pumped up about what Soto was.
And there was also the knowledge that, hey, listen, we got to sell this guy because if we want to keep him around for 13, 14, 15 years, we've got to give him the most amazing experience where, you're right, there is a little taking of granted for Aaron Judge, which is incredibly unfair to Aaron Judge. You know, I don't know. I think that he's just – some guys are – like Jalen Brunson to me is a quiet superstar, an unassuming superstar. I know he does the podcast with his buddies from Nova, but he's not looking for all that nonsense. And I think in a lot of ways that that's kind of like Juan Soto too. I think Juan wants to get to the ballpark, get in his lab, do his intricate hitting drills by himself, all things that are – very, very detailed that not many people do, and I've seen something that's incredible. And I think he just wants to go out and get his at-bats, and after the game, go home and just go to sleep. Like, honestly, I'm not saying he doesn't have any fun, but I don't think he cares about the other stuff like some players do.
And look, everybody expects him to be fine, but there is, you know, reason to speculate or at least have a conversation about what is going on with Juan Soto, because it's almost 30 games now, and he hasn't looked like himself just yet. He admitted that, you know, he's still not in feeling it for whatever reason that may be. When we come back, we'll discuss the Knicks. We'll keep it going with the conversation as well, 888-808-109, but let's insert the Knicks into the conversation ahead of Game 5 tonight at the Garden.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I said Knicks in five before the series. I didn't even think it would be this close, obviously, BT, but it's nice to see a competitive series with the Knicks, and I think it is going to be a good thing. We talked about this on Monday, how it can make them stronger potentially moving forward. I don't want to see any slip-up tonight, though. I don't want to be in one of those spots where we feel comfortable the Knicks are going to win the series. No nonsense with six games. Put them away tonight. And it would be nice if they did so, you know, by a few points as opposed to the one-point games down the final stretch here. I hope this is a margin game for the Knicks, and it's really never in doubt from opening tip.
I don't think that's too much to expect here. I mean, we've had a lot of tight games, and I think this has hardened and calloused and toughened up the Knicks here, accelerated their gel, all the things we've talked about. And, you know, maybe could serve them better in round two than I thought all year. There's been elements that I've liked. I mean, Karl-Anthony Towns has answered the bell, and Mikal Bridges, even though he's been a little all over the map this year, you know, he showed the chops. If he doesn't hit that three when they're down 11, and then the other three when they're down by six inside of a couple of minutes when Brunson was jacked up with the ankle, I mean, Knicks aren't going to win this game. I mean, so Bridges did a lot of good things, and other players have stepped up. Brunson, I think, has kind of, you know, I won't say acquiesced here because he's still going hunting for when it's winning time, which you want because he's the premier closer in the game. But I think he's doing a better job getting guys involved. All the things we were critical about early in the series. But I'm with you. You know, there's no need to win this game by two or by three or to have a two or three possession game with a minute and 12 seconds left. Just come out and we just step on this team tonight. You know, just here's what I want to see, Sal. After the end of first quarter, I want to see Knicks 34, Pistons 17. Here's what I want to see at the half. Knicks 57, Pistons 39. I mean, is it really too much ask to get complete separation in one of the games of the series? I don't think it's that big of an ask here. I really don't. I think the Knicks should mentally feel good about themselves. Now, I know it's been daunting because they were on the road for 6 days in Detroit, so they kind of, you know, stuffed up in a hotel, but they're back in their own bed Sunday night after the game. Let's go. Play's going to be rocking. Put the Pistons out of it. All Detroit's been doing is whining and complaining and, by the way, trying to punk you physically. So don't let that happen. Don't let, like you haven't lately, match the physicality, but just show how much more skilled you are because the talent's not even close.
Is there anything that the Knicks can do tonight that can make you feel better about round two?
No. No. If they do handle Prosperity along the lines of what I was just saying, I think it's a good sign. Like if they win 116-95 or so, just a big margin, just swat them early. Take their soul. Don't let them think they've got a chance to win and have a 2-hour, 3-hour party at the Garden. But I also understand, while I respect Detroit's toughness and they have played a hard, fierce, and they've been well coached and all the things that, and Cade Cunningham's going to be an all-timer, I think, down the road when he gets more seasoning. But even if they won by 30, it would not change my opinion that I do not think that they could or would beat the Celtics. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to be right.
Correct. And I do think that, I'll put it this way, I felt all along I'm not putting a ceiling on this team because of the talent. I feel much better about this team after watching the way this series has gone, where people, since game one, were doubting the Knicks. Oh, they barely were able to win. Oh, they lost game two. Oh, yeah, lucky call here, lucky call there. I feel better about this team. The adversity, the toughness, all that's gone on in this series. Karl-Anthony Towns emerging, Brunson getting his teammates involved, Brunson still being able to be the most clutch player in the league, all that stuff. Bridges, Ananobi, the defense, shortened bench, Tibbs. I think the Knicks have a shot in the next round. Now, before we get there and start analyzing that,
that's going to be fun.
I want to see them win game five tonight, but I think they have a shot. Okay, I think they're a live dog in round two.
I love it. I hope you're right. You know how I feel. And right now, I don't think you'll be right, but I certainly hope that you are. All right, but what about this? Like, if there's nothing for me that they could do tonight that would give me more optimism that they could beat the Celtics, if they win an ugly one and they don't pull away,
and could it hurt me?
Could it hurt your enthusiasm for what they could do in round two?
If they don't win tonight, I don't care how they get there. I mean, again, you'd prefer it to be a nice start to finish complete performance. I don't care if it's a, you know, 3, 5-point, 7-point game, however it goes to, you know, to get to a point where you feel comfortable in the final minutes.
Yeah.
But they need to win the game. If they don't win tonight, then everything I just said about them being a live dog in the second round, to me, that would not be who I think this team is. I believe that they do have some dog in them. I believe they do have fight, and I know they're a talented team, more talented team than we've seen before. But that also would coincide with them putting away the Pistons in five.
Yep.
If you have to go back to Detroit for a game six,
and now all of
a sudden, like, who knows in Detroit? You get the wrong whistle.
I hear
you. You're coming back here for a game seven on Saturday. Like, put them away tonight. Show some killer instinct and put them away tonight. So, yeah, to your point, my opinion can change on the Knicks. my feeling about round two can change with a loss tonight.
And having said that, I think they're going to smoke them tonight. I think they do answer the bell. I think they're, what, 5.5, 6-point favorites? I think the Knicks win by double figures. I think the Garden's popping. And I think that it's going to be a fun night. But I would like to see this. I mean, look at now. I know that the Heat aren't as tough as the Pistons. Maybe a little more talent. But, God, no, I'm talking about the Heat. Think about this.
Yeah, I'm saying, did you see that
first
half?
Yeah, that's where I'm going. I mean, it wasn't just last night. The Cavaliers won 130, closeout game. They won 138-83. The game before that, they won, this is on the road, they won 124-87. They won 121-112, and they won 121-100. So they were plus 12, plus 10, plus 35, and plus 55. I mean, I don't need every game to be a rout, but I don't think it's asking too much for a top three seed with home court advantage and two high-level all-star starters in Brunson and obviously Karl Anthony Towns and just better overall players to win one game going away.
Yeah.
It's not too much to ask.
Last night, and this is a problem for the NBA, because the Heat, a team that was 37-45, did they count in the playoffs in the standings when they do this?
I didn't think that they did, but I'm not 100% sure.
Let me just make sure here.
Remember, if they had Jimmy Butler, I mean, they're going to beat the Cavaliers, but they don't lose by 50 every night.
Miami, 37-45 on the year, should not be a playoff team. The fact that they could be down, there's an NBA playoff game, 1-8, I don't care, the play-in is stupid. The fact that a team in the playoffs, at home no less, can be down 72-33.
Oh, my God.
72-33. Dude, fold up your crappy league. That is unacceptably bad. 72-33 at half?
Now,
come on, man.
Yeah, I mean, number one, you give up 72 points, you're playing no defense. Number two, you score 33 points, you have no offense, and then it's just a rout. And why would you even watch this the rest of the way? You say hold up the, you know, fold up the NBA, and I know you can around, obviously, well, although we're both very disgruntled with the NBA. I would take it in this direction. I think it's time for the Heat to change what they're doing. I think that the culture that they've established, which was undeniably amazing and real and absolutely a thing with Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra, it's definitely time for one of them to go. No, either Pat's lost his fastball or Spoelstra. I know he went through a messy divorce, and maybe he wants to get out of there. I don't know if she stayed in Miami. But the time seems right to change what's happening in Miami.
But the bigger problem is, it's not, who cares about Miami? I understand what you're saying.
Well, I'm just saying specific to the game last night in that series.
But they shouldn't have been in the playoffs. They had the 10th best record in the Eastern Conference. The Hawks were 40-42. The Bulls were 39-43. Miami was 37-45. But because of the stupid play-in tournament, which includes two extra teams that shouldn't have been in the postseason otherwise, allows them to be in. And then, because of the best of seven in the first round, you get a situation where you have last night where a team that was already down 0-3 gives up.
Yeah, they quit.
Like, how is that good for the league? Expanded postseason, play-in tournament. You got a team that didn't deserve to be in the playoffs into the playoffs because of the stupid play-in thing. They win the stupid play-in thing because the other teams suck as well. And then in the first round, they get wiped. They got the floors wiped with them in Miami. 72-33 at a halftime? Imagine paying for tickets to go to that game.
Oh, my God. Well,
I wouldn't watch that game if you paid me. I don't care.
Yep.
Could not care less about it.
No.
That's embarrassing. Meanwhile, the Knicks are in a legit battle because they're taking on the Pistons, who are a legit playoff team, a six-seed team. Mm-hmm. Again, not that they're great, but that's...
I get it. Now, there's also more of a reward for the Cavaliers having the great record that they did, so they're going to automatically play a weaker team. I, myself, don't fundamentally mind the play-in. I don't watch it. I mean, if the Knicks are ever in the play-in, of course I'll watch that. I would say even if the Nets are in a playoff, I would just keep an eye on that just for for radio purposes, whatever. I don't even remember who played each other in the play-in. I truly don't, except that I guess I know who emerged because they're still playing here. They were in Miami's case. Mm-hmm. But it was born to create more interest in more cities. So fundamentally, I'm with it, but the execution of it, it just hasn't really popped the way that they thought that it would. So I was okay when they introduced it. It's just rough.
Either that, or if you want to keep that fine, then just go to a best of five in the first round then.
Like they used to.
Yeah.
They used to do that. They used to do best of three. Do you remember that?
That I do. I don't think I recall
best
that, no.
Best of three. I feel like...
For me, I think it's always been best of five. And now the Knicks usually would dispose of their first-round opponent in three anyway.
Or they beat the Nets whatever.
I don't recall it before that. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's messy. Basketball's a mess, and the playoffs are not a whole lot better. By the way, you see, One thing that I love, you see Anthony Edwards going right at LeBron?
No, I mean, chesting him up. And good for him.
Yeah, good for him. Yeah, he is. He's.
Well, I love him.
You told me two years ago he's your favorite guy. Yeah, and you identified it. I knew he was good. And no, I didn't know he was this much about basketball. He's got a little Kobe in him, got a little MJ in him.
Yes.
He was actually, as the Lakers were initiating their offense, he was actually taking his hands and shoving them into LeBron's chest. And now, if you're Kobe, what do you think Kobe does? Demands the ball and goes to work
right
on
him. Yeah.
LeBron's crying to the refs, looking for a call, looking for a bailout.
Also not surprising. But yeah, again, much like I expect Soto to be, Anthony Edwards got that dog in him, which is why I love him. I love guys that have that. All right, we'll get back to the phones. Whether it's Knicks or Soto, we'll finish up the final segment here, 888-808-1019.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Call of the day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Max is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Max?
Hey, guys.
Hey,
so,
Max.
The whole Judge freak out, maybe freak out is an overstatement, but we all agree Aaron Judge last year had one of the greatest seasons of all time, right?
Yep.
Do you remember what he was batting at this point last year?
About 180, 190. It was awful.
Yeah, yep. Brutal April.
One 20 with the 720 OPS. They showed it on the screen during the game yesterday.
Yeah.
Soto's batting 250 with a 380 OBP, and I feel wildly disappointed. This is his four. This speaks to the testament of how great this guy is. My only complaint is that it's delaying me throwing it in the face of my Yankee fan friend in BT that the Mets got Juan Soto, and we're the big dogs in
see?
Town.
But Max,
the guy's been playing to his absolute core. And we're the best team in baseball.
I appreciate
let's go,
that honesty.
And let's go, Knicks.
There you go,
I appreciate that. That's honest right there. That I'm fine with that.
It took us 2.5 hours, but that's the point. Nobody's worried about Juan Soto long term. I want to start enjoying our new toy. I want to start rubbing it in. I'm tired of hearing about Ben Rice in 22. I'm tired of hearing about Trent Grisham. I'm tired of watching Juan Soto struggle and not look happy and not see the shuffle. That's all. I'm entitled to feel that way, and Max is right along with me. We know it's going to turn, but it's been 30 games.
A little frustrating with the half a homer still up there.
Yeah, 3.5 homers. BT and Sal back on The Fan. That was a call today. Of course, how long do you think BT does Soto get this year until the masses start to, I don't want to say turn on him, but
I'll let him know it's unacceptable?
Yeah.
I think as long as they're winning, the boos, and there will be some if he really continues to scuffle, I think that they will be drowned out by support. I don't think it
so
becomes
as long as
venomous
winning,
until they start losing if they were to
I'm
do
not
that.
Even talking about venomous. I'm just talking about most people are calling and understanding the point or just questioning like what's going on with him as opposed to ripping him. Nobody's calling and ripping him.
Mm-hmm.
But at what point? There will be a point if we get there. Maybe we won't. Hopefully we don't. I don't think
Well, that's
will.
What I'm saying. I mean, as long as the Mets, if they're winning, let's say, okay, what is he hitting exactly, 256 right now?
Yeah, whatever.
Okay, let's say he's hitting exactly 256 on June 1st.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think Met fans turn on him, that's why I use the word venomously, if they're still winning. I think if they're losing and suddenly the Phillies are a game up and here come the Braves and Juan Soto's still hitting 250-something, well, then I think the tone changes. I think that's your answer.
I think it's all about Subway Series, May 16th. I really believe that, especially if somehow the Mets were, you know, losing is one thing, losing a series 2 out of 3. Like, the Mets are a good team.
Yeah.
And you would expect that
good
they're team. Not going to... You know, they're going to take off from here and keep it going. Whether they win the division or not, who knows? Obviously, way too early to tell that. Well, you have to like the signs here. If they lose 2 out of 3 to the Yankees and Soto does nothing in that series, I think that's when it starts to turn.
But even me, I would have to push back and say it depends what they were doing before the Yankee series. Like, if they had won 5 out of 6 before the Yankees and then they lose 2 out of 3 and Soto was hitting... Mm. You know what I mean? So, again, there's a lot of nuance there. I just don't think it gets off the rail because I think fans are enthralled with the start. Yes, the expectation is for more from Juan. I think you'll eventually get it. But, I mean, it might just be a down year one.
All right, let's see if we can buzz through some of the Soto calls here. Larry is in Corum. What's up, Larry?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hopefully you'll allow me to make 2 points, one on Soto, one on Lindor.
Go for it.
Hey, I'm with you and I'm with Max, man. We want to see that cocky, confident Soto shuffle. I mean, I've been telling my son for for weeks now. Where is that Soto shuffle? I want to see that. And that means he's going to be doing well if he starts that shuffle. Regarding Lindor, BT, you spoke weeks ago about whether or not he's a Hall of Famer, and you kind of compared him to other people in the league right now. When I was growing up, the criteria for Hall of Fame was if you were the best at your position while you played. So I'm wondering if I don't know where to look this up, maybe on Baseball Reference, if you could look up, where does he stand with regards to other shortstops of the time? I bet he's one of the better ones of his generation.
He's up there.
So, I mean, with that criteria, because you were saying he's not quite a Hall of Famer yet. But that wasn't a couple of weeks ago.
That was more last year. I haven't really mentioned anything about his candidacy this year at all. But I get where you're coming from. And, you know, I was less bullish on that than others. I mean, that's well known at this point, my Lindor takes. I think he's going to be in an interesting area, because I think that there's somebody like Witt, if he stays healthy, will, I think, blow by him statistically. But Witt's not in his prime yet. Lindor's still in his prime, and Lindor did some really big things when Witt was still in high school. So in a long about answer or long-winded way, I think that I'd have to say from post-2000, I don't know. I mean, is it a stretch to say that he's a top five shortstop, five, six, seven? I don't think that's a stretch.
But the eye test, because that's how we would evaluate everybody. Eye test tell you that Lindor's a Hall of Famer?
I've gone back and forth. I want to see a little more. I would like one more. Well, I would like another big season or two. And I think you'll get it from him. And then I think the answer will be yes.
Yeah, I think so too.
But think about it. If I can't sit here and say that Aaron Judge is an absolute Hall of Famer today if he got hurt and retired, I mean, there's still some meat on that bone for Lindor. I think he's going to get there. I think he's going to achieve what he's going to need to achieve. I mean, what does he have? Already 250-something home runs, right?
See, to me, Judge should, I don't know the exact numbers, Judge should be a Hall of Famer no matter what. If he stopped playing the rest of his career right now, I still think he's got enough in the bank to where he's a Hall of Famer.
I tend to agree, but a lot of people don't. Whatever, it's subjective. I think when it's all said and done, especially if the Mets have a 3-4-5-year window where they're winning a ton of games and he's playing in the postseason, I think he's going to get in.
Dave is calling from Smithtown. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys, you know, that game last night, 72-33, that's like a college game.
Should never happen in the NBA, especially the postseason. But it happens far too often.
Think about it. You know, you look at the first round of the NBA playoffs. We've already had two sweeps. One was a disaster with the Miami-Cleveland series. But I'll say this, and look, hear me out. I understand I'm probably the only one in this town watching the Stanley Cup playoffs. But the level of
competition, I watched the Devils the other night. I watched the Devils double overtime.
Let me say this, you know, there's no sleeps ever in the first round. You haven't had a sleep in the Stanley Cup since 1998. I mean, there's less stoppages in play. You could go 5 or 10 minutes without a stoppage. The NBA, every 5 seconds, it's a timeout. Mm-hmm. It's a foul. I mean, the hockey is just a better product.
I agree with that.
The Rangers aren't in it, but I'm sure you agree with what I'm saying.
The hockey,
188, Knicks win tonight. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Dave.
I jumped. That was my bad. The Knicks will win tonight. They'll win going away. The hockey playoffs are by far a better presentation than the NBA. Because for a while, now I just happen to be more of a basketball fan, you know, the thing that's missing, when I take away my Nick hat here, my Nick-centric hat, like even when I was doing the national show, Sal, I was very engaged. Like, I was very much into, is LeBron going to win one for the Cavs?
Yep.
You know, where is he with Jordan? You know, the chase for the GOAT. You know, the end of the Kobe regime. You know, like I just feel like there's just less to, even early Steph, the Warriors dynasty, amazing theater. I just feel like outside of the Knicks, because of my regional rooting interest, like all of us here, most of us, what are we looking at the NBA and saying that is a story that is defining an era or a generation? What is it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm focused solely on the Knicks. Back then, I was focused on LeBron like you. I loved when he came back to Cleveland and won the championship. I was into the Warriors in that dynasty.
Right?
I mean...
Giannis got his.
Yeah.
The Cavaliers aren't there yet.
Oklahoma City, there's nothing that's appealing about them to me.
Maybe if the Celtics repeat. I mean, you talk about the Celtics like the Yankees and like some of these platinum teams.
But even
if the Celtics win again, now you're talking about Tatum and all the championship. Like, but is that a captivating national story? I don't think that it is.
No, but to his point, the NHL, but nobody's ever disputed this, I don't think.
No, I haven't even disputed it.
Yeah, it's the far superior postseason product. Devils, maybe. I don't care about the other teams when the Rangers are out of it. Islanders were into it. If they weren't in the postseason, I'd be into it. I was when they went to back-to-back Eastern Conference Finals. It's sad. Yeah, if the Devils were winning this round, potentially, then it's a different story. John, the further that they would go. John is on Staten Island. What's up, John?
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? I think I have the perfect analogy as a diehard Met fan for how I look at Soto. Okay. When you were a little kid and your friends had cool bikes and you asked your parents, I need a cool bike too. And they're like, ask Santa. So you ask Santa, Christmas morning, there's that beautiful bike. It's got the pegs. It's the coolest bike in the neighborhood. But it's snowing and icy out and you can't take it out and brag about it for 3 months. That's the way I feel.
So
I got the cool bike, but I can't show my friends.
They want to enjoy that bike, though, don't you, John?
100%. And I'll also point out, and Sal, I know you can't comment on this, the reason why Soto gave short answers about the Soto Shuffle when he was talking to Will Salmon is because he's got the weirdest hair I've ever seen in my entire life. Have a great day, gentlemen.
Thank you, John. You're making fun of Will Salmon. He's talking about Will Salmon's hair.
Okay.
And Will's got nice hair. BT and I can't speak on that, obviously, is... we're not hairsmen. Is that the way that you...
Yeah.
Hairsmen?
We'll go with that. We'll go
I don't
with
know,
that.
Whatever.
You're bald.
Yeah, oh, there you go. Right, we were bald.
We are
Thank
swordsmen,
you,
though.
Jeez.